Remember when Jesus stood up and read and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, recovering his sight to the blind, and to tell everybody that this is the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the good news." And then Jesus, when he left, said, "As the Father sent me, so I send you." We've been called to share the good news. That is our calling. Now, sometimes people say, "Well, I don't know what my calling is." I don't know either what mine is. Except for one thing, that at least what Jesus said is what we're supposed to do. And so then we should be the people with the good news. Amen? No matter what, we have good news. We have no doubt that God is able, right? Now, last night I lay down and I was considering a lot of things, but something that came into my heart from the Holy Spirit was that God is not in charge, but he will take charge. He'll take charge of that which we commit to him. In other words, when we pray, we open the door for him to do what he wants to do. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We open the door for God to do what God prefers to do. He gave us dominion. He left us in charge. And we have to take responsibility for being in charge. And that means believing that we're in charge. And trusting that what he has said about empowering us and filling us and enabling us is true. And that sometimes, oftentimes, most times, all the time, maybe, will require a bit of determination on our part. It will require us to, I think last week Vicki talked about, you know, it will require us to step out. It will require us to have confidence in the presence of all of the naysayers and the doubters and the fearers and the worriers, the negatrons, because such were some of us. But not anymore. At least we shouldn't be. And remember, we need to be aware. We need to be aware and have that change of perspective. That confidence and that assurance that comes not because we've changed so much, but because we believe God. And as we believe God, then we increase. And as we increase, our confidence grows. Jesus had every confidence without doubt in God. And even Jesus, at one particular moment, spent a considerable amount of time asking God to make sure that God did not come up with another plan. Now, another thing that we need to realize, and this should not cause us to give up or throw in the towel, but another thing that we need to realize is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God manifest in this world, walked this earth for 3.5 years. There was sin when he got here, and there was still sin when he left. You ever think about that? There was still sin when Jesus left. There will always be sin in the world. But there was no sin in Jesus, and that can be us as well. But until it is us, let him who was out without sin cast the first stone. In other words, we're still works in progress. Not only that, but Jesus, who had the greatest healing, deliverance, providing, protecting, directing ministry of all time, did not get everyone healed, could only feed those who came to be fed, and only those who would call upon his name could be saved. So when he left, the whole world was not yet saved, was it? And when he returns, sadly, it's doubtful that the whole world will be saved. There will still be those who choose death over life. And not knowing it. Did you know that you were choosing death before you found life? Did you have any idea that you were choosing death? No. You didn't even know you were dead. I never knew I was dead. I also never knew I was empty. Did you ever know that you were empty? Until you got full? Do you recognize now when you're not so full? That tank is a sneaky one. Sometimes it leaks. Sometimes we stick a hole in it and it drains empty. Now, we don't take accountability for it necessarily, but it's a fact. I mentioned on Wednesday that last week I had this wave of thought come over me. And it was the strangest wave of thought. But it was so subtle and it made so much sense. And that wave of thought was that, why do you think you need to read your Bible all the time? You've been doing this hard for 30 years. Don't you think that you deserve to just ease up? And it's like I'm going, well, that's a silly thought. But with it just came like a list of good reasons why it made sense. And then these thoughts of, a lot of people after this many years, they're looking forward to retirement. And waves. And it was the only thing I could compare it to is like the Star Wars things of, how they would use the mind control and say, you don't want to do that and never do that. And it was like this wave of thought was just, it was just like seducing. It was like, oh. But that same voice that I didn't know was a voice 30 years ago that said, just keep seeking, was still there. That same voice caused me to think about this and caused me to realize, boy, oh boy. My first thought was, I understand. It gave me just a whole new understanding of how easily people can get deceived. It gave a whole new explanation to how people can be running the race to win and then just sit down. Just kind of take a break. After all, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. God knows that I've got lots to do. The other thing that came with it, which was maybe even a bigger help, was the thing of, and now you go to the jail all the time, you don't ever have a day off. I don't remember ever looking for one. Christians don't take days off, folks. It isn't just pastors. And I know pastors that the thing they look forward to most is their day off. And I've asked them, what do you mean day off? Well, not really a day off, brother, but it's like I'm just asking, how does a Christian think they got a day off? Today, I won't love Jesus. I, I've been loving Jesus steadily for, 9,000 days or more? 10,000 days? 11,000 days? No, 30. 30 times 300. That's a lot of days. Anyway, I mean, what could it hurt? Man, there's proof out there everywhere what it hurts. But you see, that's the enemy. If he can get us to just take a day to worry, just get us to take a day to justify, just get us to take a day to think those thoughts that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. The thing that occurs to me is, you know, a car will run just as well on a little bit of gas as it will on a full tank of gas. Until it quits. And I think that a lot of times Christians run around with that little light on, that little indicator. And like me, they still know that they've got a few miles left. Now, it didn't occur to me much way back when I traveled a lot that there were other damages that could be done by running out of gas. But there's that thing of the corrosion all running in and plugging things up. There's, you know, they really prefer not to be out of gas. And unfortunately, I think that as Christians, we have to be cautious that we don't get used to running on low. Or even empty. I mean, Vicki will tell you, we used to always have this running joke, and I've probably told you this before, but you know, it was kind of a deal of when we got low on gas and I had passed the wrong gas station, then the joke was, whose turn was it to walk? And one day she had on running shoes, but she still didn't do it. But usually, it was like before we even knew God, she had this knowledge to know to wear flip-flops or something. And so when we were out and I would say, whose turn is it? She said, I can't, not in these shoes. But there were lots of times, you know. I mean, we traveled some roads so many times that I sort of knew where the best gas stations were. But that didn't necessarily mean that I had filled the last time at one that was close. Maybe we came into that state from a different spot. And so there were many times late at night when I'm cruising and I'm looking at that gas gauge and I'm thinking, I know that's just over this next hill. But you know when your gas gauge gets low, hills are hard. And sometimes we made it and sometimes we didn't. And so I would be going to find something. You know, there's something interesting about going across a field into a farmer's place and telling them you ran out of gas, and you can see in their eyes, you know, how stupid can you be? You know? But I usually beat them to that thought by saying, I don't know how stupid I could be. I was sure I could get to the next gas station. Yeah. But bless the Lord, we'd get gas and we'd get to the next place. But even at that time, I never really gave much consideration to the fact that it really wasn't necessarily good for the vehicle to run out of gas. It's not good for us to run out of gas spiritually, folks. And, you know, I also had those times where I filled with gas and then I passed the station where it was cheaper. And I'd just be agonizing over the fact that, you know, I spent 20 more cents. This was back when gas was a lot cheaper, you know. You know, nowadays if it's 10 cents a gallon less, you know, and you can save $2, it doesn't sound like much. But back then, man, if you could save $2, that was half a tank of gas. But I would have too much gas, but I think Vicki could probably attest to the fact that more than once, even if I didn't need much, I'd pull in just to say I got some of that, you know. And then I could have it in my mileage book so I would know where that place was. May never get past it again. You know, I know. It's crazy thoughts, okay? But all those thoughts begin to work pretty good when it comes to the spiritual place, because you see, when our tank is pretty full, we don't necessarily think we need to pull in to fill up. If we wake up in the morning and we're feeling pretty good, well, then it might be just easier to pass up the prayer time. You know, it might be easier to just say, oh, let's see, I can, I'll just pray as I go. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with praying as you go. You should pray as you go. But you should take the time to get to that place, your secret place with God, where you sit down with God, lay down with God, do something with God, you know. Now, some people would say, well, I was laying down all night, so I was with God. No, I'm talking about spending a little moment with God to let him know that he's most important, that you're most needy. To let him know you can't survive the day without him. To let him know that, I mean, you want to be so filled up so that if you hit a rock that knocks the tank open and all the gas runs out, you've got enough power to keep going. And so we have to be cautious as Christians that we don't take that time with God. Cautious. See, it's important. We know some things, folks. We know some things. God has taught us some things. We know some things about the authority of God. We know some things about the Word of God. But you can know it all and have nothing. Just like the time that I had the van with two gas tanks. One full. The thing held, the one tank held 30 gallons, the other two. I was running with 50 gallons of gas, but the 30-gallon one, it wouldn't switch. I was sitting there with everything I needed, and I could not move. See, God is everything we need. But without faith, we can't switch the tank. And so while the source and the supply and everything we need is right there beside us waiting, we just don't have the spark to ignite what he's got for us. And we can't be that way. And the only way not to be that way is to be aware that we could be that way. Or maybe even willing to acknowledge, I am there. You know? Here's the deal, folks. More often than not, when you're low on gas, every place you go will be uphill. You'll just keep climbing and climbing, and you'll keep watching your gauge go down and down and down, thinking there's got to be a downhill. One time the last time that we pulled a camper was on the way to move it out and leave it live at Hart Ranch. And we picked it up in Mitchell. In a headwind heading west. And it was terrible getting out of Waston up that big hill. And I mean, I just watched the gas gauge and I'm going, oh, we should have enough to get there. But all of a sudden, every one of those hills after that got steeper. Until we were coming up the hill to the signs of the place that said the biggest little biker bar. And I can't remember the guy's name, but it was the finest place we ever found once we got there. But I mean, needless to say, I was saying pray. Everybody pray. Because I can't estimate how far I can go on E when I'm pulling a horse, you know. But I was pretty sure that I'd watch that thing go down, and there wasn't really a big shot at getting there. But, oh, thank you, Jesus, there was a hill going downhill. And that hill went downhill. And I took the ramp as fast as I could, and I got up, and the next road went a little bit downhill, and I coasted into that gas station. and the engine died. And when I took off the gas cap, it's, you could tell it just been sucking. I think if you could have got in there, the tank was evaporated dry. It was pulling so hard. God blessed us, man. We were anyway. That's not the way to live our spiritual life. And those of us who are spiritual can understand that when we're feeling a little low, it seems like everything's uphill. And I don't think it's so much that there's more trouble, it's just that any little trouble is like a mountain. And it just adds, and it adds, and it adds, and it adds, and it adds. And by then, we're so empty, we don't even think to switch tanks. And that's why sometimes it takes almost a state of unconsciousness. It almost takes somebody putting us on the respirator, and then all of a sudden we go, it's like one of those things where somebody is, they're doing the EMT trick on them and they aren't breathing and they've been underwater for a long time and they're about to give up, and then there's that, out comes the water, they begin to breathe and life comes back. Now, I don't ever want to experience that again in my life. Never. I don't ever, because you see, when I got saved, I realized I had been really, really, really empty. And I want to remain lonely for the fullness of God. Because I'm telling you that when that suggestion came in waves, and even though it sounded good, it felt so bad because it brought with us just an utter emptiness. It was like with those suggestions, I just go, oh. It sounds good, but it feels bad. It's sort of like when I got on a plane to head to Russia and the devil said, why don't you just get drunk? Nobody knows you. Just have a party, man. You know it's free going overseas. I mean, I didn't even get an empty feeling then. I just thought, man, are you stupid? You know, I always went for the best high. I certainly wouldn't waste it on something like that. But he has to try. We just can't be susceptible to it. We need to recognize, we need to keep the tank full. When the tank's full, those suggestions from the enemy really don't have much to say. But if the tank is empty, they sound fine. It's like another time in Russia, when we got there, man, I felt the clouds. They were just dark. It was just, boom, there was just such resistance. I had no idea what the resistance was about at all. But first thing I did, we got to the motel, I just hit my knees and put my face in the bed. And I said, God, you got to do something. This is awful. This is ugly. This is terrible. And I got up and I was done with it. But we had the other person on the team that seemed to think that she could gain strength from fighting darkness. And that if nobody else fought the darkness with her, then we really weren't even spiritually sensitive. And so we would be getting ready for a meeting, and I would be confident God was going to do something, and I would hear this dying behind the curtain. I felt maybe a little bit like Paul did when he finally said, shut up and come out of her. You know, it just was, you know, but I thought, well, you know, bless her heart. You know, she's working and laboring in prayer and it makes her feel better. It doesn't make any difference, you know. But then she began to accuse the rest of the people on the team that they weren't doing the same thing that she was, and that she was fighting the battle all alone. And so we had our team meeting, and I said to the team, I said, team, we got to understand something here. And I just explained to her, I said, if you want to do that, fine. But when I got here, I prayed. And I know that God heard me. And I'm not going to stop you from doing what you're doing, but don't you hurt the rest of these people, making them think they got to do it the same way that you do. They were thinking that maybe things were going pretty good. That maybe people hungry for God and getting filled with the Holy Spirit and healed was pretty good. And there you were trying to bring them down off of that. You can't do that. Well, she didn't really speak to me again the rest of the trip, and I think she took me off her email list, but that's okay. I hope that she learned something. Because I know what emptiness felt like. And I want to recognize when my tank's down even a little bit. And I certainly don't want to be found with an empty tank going uphill. Now, we can be confident in God. That's all there is to it. Titus chapter 2, verse 1 says, "You must tell everyone how to live in a way that agrees with true teaching." That's my calling to you, but that's your calling to the world. To tell people what's true. To explain to people, when people say, "Man alive, everything's a mess, it's going downhill," to say, "Listen, God's not in charge of the messes, but He will take charge if we will pray." God doesn't have to make messes. The devil is good at it. And so if we got to at least take good control of the truth and speak the truth, yes, in love. Now, some things, it doesn't matter how loving you say it, they don't feel good to people, okay? Hey, there's sometimes when I'm reading the Bible, it don't feel good. Because it's something that speaks to my heart and my heart needs to fix. There's some things that don't give me a double backflip feeling and a rejoicing until I've dealt with it and then say, "Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for pointing that out to me." And so the purpose of this message is not to say, if you're empty, that's terrible. It's to say, it ain't the end. But it's to remind us to stay full. And it's to give us some awareness of the things that we can go empty and recognize when it is. If you're easily convinced that you don't have time to seek the Lord, you're getting empty. Or if the enemy says, "Oh, you know, just anything will do." Here's the deal. You need to be where God wants you to be. You seen that commercial with a new Volkswagen where the lady is at the diesel pump? And people are going, "No! No! It's diesel!" She knew what she was putting in. She went ahead and put in the diesel. But it does matter what fuel we put in. Somebody did that to me out here at D&K one time. I was at the diesel pump putting the diesel in my Jetta. And the guy, "Wait, that's diesel!" I said, "I know. So's the car." "Oh. But it does matter what kind of fuel we put in. It matters. If you're a believer in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, then it matters if you're being filled up with the Holy Spirit. Everything ain't the same. We need to know this. But if we're easily convinced that it's really not a big deal, might be a sign our tank is low. Because when our tank is full, we want more. When our tank is full in God, we got extra capacity. We like it to overflow. We like to spill it. We can afford to have it spill when we're full. Because otherwise we'll end up in fumes. He goes on to say, "Teach older men to have self-control, be serious, to be wise. They must be strong in the faith, in love, and in patience." Age has nothing to do with maturity. But if we should be mature, then that's what we should be doing. That's how we should be. We should not be easily deceived. We should not be easily distracted. But listen again, this is not condemnation. This is, if you have found yourself there, ¿qué pasa? It's over. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Get in it, get on it, get full, and keep at it. Then he's got instructions to older women to live the way those who serve the Lord should live. They shouldn't go around saying bad things about others or be in the habit of drinking too much. They should teach what is good. By doing this, they will teach the younger women to love their husbands and their children. Listen, women or men, it's not time served, it's quality of service. Back in the hippie movement, and those kids just went and fell in love with Jesus, you know. I didn't realize this, but it makes perfect sense. But things like the Vineyard Fellowship and that, they came out of that movement. Because nobody wanted those hippie folks. They were going around doing miracles. They were going around suggesting that you could trust God. They were going around with the joy of the Lord. Yeah, some of them were still getting high, but they learned, you know. The point is not just age reference here, it's Christian reference here. What sort of Christian should we be? Should we be easily discouraged? Should we be easily distracted? Should we be, you know, any God will do? With or without God, you know, it's no big deal. I'm strong in the Lord. I don't have to fellowship all the time. Do you know? One thing that the enemy didn't think when he sent that wave was, is I do need to show up here. I don't take the opportunity to show up here lightly. Sometimes to my bride's dismay, although she really never has much to say about it now, but for many years, you know, I mean, I don't think that it always was perfect in the plan, that I always thought we had to leave Sunday night after church and be back by Saturday for the next Sunday. She went through a lot of hard travels that way sometimes. I spent a lot of time with this look burning a hole in the side of my face as I just kept driving and driving and driving. Remember when I don't know where we were coming back from. Anyway, we ended up, we looked and looked and looked for a place to stay. We woke up in this rest area. It was almost scary to me. There were no lights. It was dark as could be. When I opened the door to leave to go to the restroom, I could feel it. She was not happy. I've tried not to do it since then. You know, I mean, I really was serious. I wanted to find a place. We just were no place where there was a place. But, you know, it wasn't great, but to me it was worth it. Because I need the Lord. They should teach what is good. By doing this, they will teach young women. They will teach them to be wise and pure and take care of their homes, to be kind and be willing to serve their husbands. And then no one will be able to criticize the teaching God gave us. One thing we have to consider is that we share the teaching God gives us. Because people not only will criticize us, but they'll criticize him based on our behavior, and it's not his fault. Tell young men to be wise. You should be an example for them in every way in the good things you do. When you teach, be honest and serious, and your teaching should be clearly right. so that you cannot be criticized. Wow, that's an assignment, to be clearly right. Years ago, we were sitting at a basketball game, and this kid comes up, sits down beside me, and wants to talk to me about God. It was Isaiah. I never knew a kid. Didn't know where he was from or what he was up to. But basically, it came from a rumor that somebody spread at Sunshine about me. Now, the rumor that people spread at Sunshine about me was not necessarily uplifting, but it was what Isaiah needed. I was one of those Holy Ghost people. Consequently, after doing one chapel there, I've never been invited back. But you know what? Out of that one chapel, Isaiah's led a lot of people to the Lord, seen a lot of people healed, a lot of people delivered. But it was so weird that he just came up and said he thought he needed to talk to me. That's something that says, yikes, I am responsible to make sure that what I teach is clearly right. That it lines up with the Word of God. So, and tell this to those who are slaves. Now it's talking not to people that just are slaves, but people who labor. If you work for somebody, work well. If you do something for somebody, do it well. Give them the best service that you can. Go the extra mile. Jeff and I have a running thing whenever I've got something that I'm going to do, and I say, you know, if you can, come on up and give me a hand, and he'll say, yeah, if I can. He doesn't say not in 10,000 years. He says, yeah, if I get around to it. Now, we both know that that means that he probably doesn't have a preference for that. But not too long ago, I asked him to take a look at my mother's garage door open, and when I came home, it worked. He got around to it. Probably looked at it and thought I'd mess it up forever if I went after it, and so he could take care of it. You know? Because he knew I would give it a try. But anyway, if we do what's right, then in everything they do, they will show that the teaching of God our Savior is good. That's the way we should live. We should live this way because God's grace has come, and that grace can save everyone. That's another thing that we have to keep in mind. His grace can save everyone. Remember, if he saved you, he can save anyone. And if he's managed to keep you, he can keep anyone. And there's a possibility that he's gotten you through when you were running on fumes at more than one time. But here's one thing that we need to understand, and that is that, you know, there's nothing like running out of gas for you to know that you need it. You see, when I would drive and it was really low, and before I knew how to pray about it being really low, when I would drive and it was really low, I would keep driving, doing math in my head. Okay, because I knew with every vehicle how many miles I could go on empty, because most of them I had run out at least once. So my excuse the first time was, well, at least now I know. Maybe not every vehicle, but almost, you know. But I never knew I was totally empty until the engine died. And it's very inconvenient to be totally empty. And sometimes I think that Christians find themselves totally empty, and it takes them by surprise. Because they've been going along and still kind of going along, because as I said, a vehicle will run just as good with very little gas as it will with a full tank. It will just keep going until it just quits going. And sometimes that's what happens spiritually. We're just going and going and going. And then all of a sudden we find ourselves out of gas. And when people are out of gas, spiritually, It's usually not themselves that they blame first. Usually a certain number of excuses that can be made. Usually it's people that are out of gas that say, I don't know why God did this. Where was God when this happened? See, people that have those kind of thoughts and feelings are people that don't have gas. They just don't know it. I'll guarantee you that never once when I ran out of gas did I look at Vicki and say, this is all your fault. Because I knew whose fault it was. Lost, I knew whose fault it was. And I never really was serious about having it be her turn to walk because it wouldn't be her fault. And she knew that, but it was always fun. It wasn't too long ago that we were low on gas somewhere or something, and she said, I'm not walking. She has authority. When she's right, she's right. But it's dangerous to not look at the tank. Dangerous. It's dangerous to not keep ourselves filled up. It's dangerous for us not to recognize those taunts and those alluring little things that the enemy does that actually make sense. But we've got to recognize the empty feeling because, man, if we give any credence to one of those suggestions, it's like driving up a mountain. It just sucks gas out. It's like taking a hammer and punching a hole in the gas tank because that's the enemy's got us right where he wants us. It teaches us not to live against God and not to do the bad things the world wants to do. It teaches us to live on earth now in a wise and right way, a way that shows true devotion to God. Our lives should show true devotion to God. Now, true devotion to God is not some certain position, but it's life. It's life that gives life. You know, words of life, you know, it's like, okay, when they do revival tactics, they break people's ribs sometime to get them revived. Sometimes the word of God hits like a cannonball. But you know, it's good if we recognize it. Because if we recognize it, it means we recognize that there's truth to it. And then if we recover, we can come out of it and realize that there's an emptiness that just got filled. We should live like that while we're waiting for the coming of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. He is our great hope. He will come with glory. He gave himself for us. He died to free us from all evil. He died to make us pure. People who belong only to him and who always want to do good. These are the things you should tell people. Encourage them. And when they're wrong, correct them. You have full authority to do this, so don't let anyone think that they can ignore you. You ever raise a child? Ever have one of them think they could ignore you? Ever have them just flat ignore you? Do you just cast them aside then? Ever have any of those kids at the Head Start that just try to ignore you? So then do you put them outside in the cold or just keep working with them? There are a few that sometimes you shake your head and you say, no matter what I do for them all day long, they're going to get home and it's going to ruin them. Never grow weary of well-doing. Never grow weary of filling up with God. Never give in easily to the suggestions of the enemy. Never believe it. If you hear, I'm okay. I'll be fine. God understands. Run. Run from that. Run from that. Because that's a lie of the enemy. There's truth in it, but it's a lie. Understand what I'm saying? See, we need to be aware of these things so that we know the way that we need to walk. And when we know that we need to walk that way, it will make us aware of how much we need to be full. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. And He's anointed you. And He's offered us the opportunity to be tethered, like in-flight refueling. We can just snub up to the tank, get filled up and keep going. Keep filling, keep going. Keep filling, keep going. Take charge. That's taking charge. Because if you and I, we have to take charge of our lives so that we have a charge to jumpstart others. That's why all these little battery maintaining things, keeping it on a battery, keeps the battery charged so the battery don't go. So take charge. Take a charge. Lend a charge. Amen? Father, in Jesus' name, help us to live the way we should live, because Your grace has come so that we don't live against God, so that we aren't mesmerized, enticed, and dragged into the world's way of thinking and doing, so that we live on earth now in a wise and right way, a way that shows true devotion to You. We thank You for this opportunity, Lord. Thank You for filling our tanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.